My name is Trudy Gunnison. Grew up in a small town, Sheridan, Oregon. I was the youngest of five. My mother and father were both Lutheran, so I was born and raised Lutheran. We were a very close-knit family all my life, and I think that has had a bearing on where I am today, and for that I thank God. All right, I have cerebral palsy. When I was born, my mother knew there was something wrong when none of the nurses, none of the doctors paid any attention to her. She was left bleeding on the table. All the nurses were trying for about 2 or 3 minutes to revive me. For when I was born what is called breech. I came out feet first. I think the the air hose was wrapped around my neck. I had no air in my brain, and I was dead, from what I've been told. They revived me, and I was probably puny little kid for a week. And the next day, the doctors, the eminent people of knowledge came in to my mom and dad and said, "We have the papers here for you to sign. Trudy can go live as full a life as she would be able in a state home. You can visit her. She'll be taken care of." Mom looked at Dad. Dad looked at Mom and said, "No way, she's our daughter." I went home. 23 years later, some odd months, I graduated from college with not too bad GPA. So much for eminent learned doctors. Day after the birth of a child. I'm very limited in my knowledge of handicap, and it's hard for me to call myself handicapped. I have cerebral palsy. My feet drop. I have slightly slurred speech, which you must have noticed by now. It gets more difficult to understand me as I get more excited because I tend to go faster and show my emotion more. That is the limit of what I call my handicap. It doesn't rule my life anymore. When I was in junior high school, I was playing volleyball at practice, and I was very discouraged because I couldn't run, I couldn't hit the ball the way other kids were. The strength was not there, my muscles were not cooperating, and I was bitter. Up until that time, I must have been pretty bitter about this. Because I wanted to be, quote, normal. And so one day, a girl was saying, "It's no fair." She was saying this to the girl, "It's no fair. Trudy doesn't have to do the laughs we do. Trudy doesn't have to do this. And it's no fair, she should have to." And I turned right around, looked that girl right in the eye, and I said in that too delicate speech, "Do you want to be like this? Do you think I don't want to be able to run? Do you think I don't want to be able to jump high and smash the volleyball? What's it called? Spike. Spike a volleyball? I would love to. I want to. I can't. At that time, the bitterness broke. That day, starting down. The bitterness turned my cerebral palsy broke. Now I'm at the point where I do not play volleyball. Not because I don't really want to, it's because I know I don't move fast enough. But I enjoy watching it more because my imagination moves faster than my feet do. So I can be in there spiking the balls and getting the balls, even though I'm not, and I'm okay. I've accepted it. My cerebral palsy, I know I fell down. I know there are times that people want to say, excuse me, would you repeat that? I didn't get what you said. But out of fear of how I will react, they don't say that. Until I say, did you get that one? And they say, no. Okay. And I repeat myself. I understand you can't understand me all the time. I know that. I've lived with that. When I was 5 years old, I would say something. My sister would be right there. And the person I was talking to would look at my side at my sister and say, what did she say? And I wanted to say, she said. So I learned to enunciate, so I made myself understood. I realized that when people look at me, they look at a handicapped person. And that is hard for me to deal with because when I look at myself, I see me and I don't see a handicapped person. I have not seen a handicapped person for about 5 years now. I see me. I do what I do because I was raised that way. Mom and Dad never gave me any special treatment. If I did bad, I got it like anyone else in the family. I'm Trudy. I'm not poor Trudy. That's the way I see myself. I would rather rude. Did I talk to you yesterday on the sidewalk?
It was my wife, Donna.
Yeah. I think I was rather pushy to your wife because, may I repeat the conversation? I met his wife. I was going down the hill. She was coming up. And she said something like, whew. And I said, tired, huh? And she goes, yeah. And so we started talking about how the life of Holden is not monastic in any way. You do not sit and meditate. You live. And it gets pretty darn tiring. And she said, well, how long have you been here? And I said, oh, I've been here a month. She goes, are you on staff? And I said, yeah, I work in the kitchen. Yes, I work in the kitchen. I should not say yeah. That's not good. And so she said, oh, you must have a lot of courage to do that. And I think I knew then what was behind that. oh, you have a lot of courage. And so I deliberately, I owe your wife an apology, pushed why it was that I had courage to be there, here. And she finally came out that it was pointed to my handicap. My first impulse was to say myself, why? Why? But I didn't. We talked about handicap and how each of us are handicapped, which I hope to get to later in the discussion. I'll tell you one story and then I'll open it up to any comments. I was sitting in the lounge of one of the dorms at Texas Lutheran College. By the way, I graduated from TLC 5 weeks ago. I was sitting there about 2 years ago watching TV, and the guy comes in and says, what are you doing? And I looked at him and I said, watching TV. Very obvious. So then he sat down for a little while, looked at me, said, you know, if you pray to Jesus, he'll straighten out your feet and you'll talk right. What? I said. He repeated it and I said, and it took me back. For an instant, I thought, I want it. I want to be so-called normal. And then I said, hey, wait a second. Told him, but God and I have gotten this far together. I think we'll go 21 more years together just the way we are. We get to where we're going and people understand us. And I think that's really the beginning of when I learned to accept myself. When I learned to say, so what? I have cerebral palsy. I do right fine on my own. And 2 days before I came here, I looked at Mom and said, hey, Mom. You know what? She goes, what? And I said, I like me, the way I am. She looked at me and said, that's the best thing you could have said. Are there any comments?
I think you speak very well. Mm-hmm. Very easy to understand.
It's been a lot of work. People don't understand me when I get excited, when I get emotional, when I get tired. Also, when I get tired, I drop my feet a bit more and I'm a bit weaker. I don't open the lids in the kitchen when I normally could, but I just get tired. So I said, help! Someone does. Question.
You don't have any crutches or anything to help you walk, though.
I've never had crutches. You know how I learned to walk? Mom says that at 4 o'clock every day, I would get up from my continual babysitter to television. It was the easiest thing for Mom and Dad to lean in front of the TV. Entertained all day. I would get up from in front of the television, go darting to the back of the house. This was going through about 2 doorways, turning a couple of circles. I would crash into the back door, turn myself around, head back through the TV, sit down. And that's how I learned to walk. I went from one end of the house to the other, and I just taught myself. By the way, I did not start walking until I was 5 years old. So what?
Something you said earlier brought home, when you mentioned someone talking to you, or really, I should say talking to your sister to ask what you thought. Several years ago, I had a friend that has polio, and when he would travel with someone else, people would stop and ask the person he was traveling with, does he need this or that? He wouldn't speak to him. And I thought, you know, how silly the way we relate to people. And then about a year ago, I had an operation on my throat, and the doctor told me I could not speak for 3 weeks, and I could not whisper or anything. When I left there, I went into a restaurant to get a bite to eat, and I took the pad, and I wrote out what I wanted, and I handed it to the waitress. She went away and brought everything back and handed it to me and collected the money and then said...
Let the table know that he mouthed, thank you. The waitress came back and mouthed the word thank you to him. Is that clear? No, but that's true. I have a friend who has multiple sclerosis, and whenever they go out to eat, the waitress always asks, does he want a glass of water? And more times than not, Uncle Jack will pop up his head and says, tell her he wants water. John.
We've had several sessions like this, and you and John and Jan continue to either give Larry the theme or he has chosen the word handicap.
Define it.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to tell you an experience. I was a discovery prober for the American Lutheran Church, which meant the Division of Service and Mission in America funded about 15 of us in issues. Mine was peace, nonviolence. Some were environmental issues, some were issues of human sexuality, or one of them was a probe on disabilities. They used the term disabilities, not handicap. The reason for that was when we first gathered and talked about some probes, one of the persons who was going to do a probe, I forget what the particular disability was, but anyway, the first thing he said was, I am disabled. My disability is very clear. I'm sitting in a wheelchair. Not all people's disabilities are as clear as mine. But he said, I want to use the word disability or disabled. Whether or not it's a handicap is largely up to me. I do have a disability. I will determine whether that's a handicap or not. You've said almost the same thing when you started, but we've continued for the topics to use handicap. I think it would be more clear, maybe, not to assume you have a handicap, because you've in essence said I don't. I see me not okay. I just wondered if you had a preference or if you've ever heard anybody else use the difference between disability and handicap.
I didn't like either of them.
Yeah. Okay.
I was upset the day before because I was feeling like I was again being labeled handicapped.
Yeah.
And in my life, I can see that doesn't apply. That is my own philosophy on my cerebral palsy. I know that. But as Christians, you must allow me to wallow in that and not make me label myself handicapped. I have trouble saying I'm disabled too. Because there are some things I can't do. But find out if anyone in this room can say that there are some things they can't do. What is the difference? But we're called to try you might disagree with me, but that's what I see when I go in the Eucharist every week here, and every month at home. That's why I think that when I go into the ministry, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get into the ministry, because I think I need to learn a lot more, to grow up a lot more. I have faith. Faith to go out with good courage. Roads untrodden, perils unknown. Because I got me behind me and I like myself. And I like myself because myself loves God. And I think God loves me. And sometimes the two of us working together makes a winning and very stunning combination. I hope that's not going too far to say that. But I think a lot of hurt went away on the day I found out that Christ doesn't just tell you what to do. He also laughs with you. He cries with you. And that's my faith in God. And again, politic people, broken people. And now I have a question. Why did you come? What were you expecting me to say? When you go someplace, when you go to hear someone speak, you always expect them to say something. What was I supposed to say that I didn't say? Nothing?
I don't know about others, but I know myself that we have handicaps in communication. You mentioned earlier that it might be hard to understand you, but even when one's diction is very clear, it is still difficult to understand. Husband and wife do not always understand each other very well. And I think we let certain things inhibit that conversation. So in my own sense, I came to find out who is truly, not to be inhibited by anything physical that would avoid knowing who you are. And I thank God for that opportunity to sit and listen and talk with you.
And while you're talking,
I think I came because I needed to see if something was true about myself. I left here last summer and I went to work at a camp for the handicapped. And I was working with smaller kids and kids that couldn't communicate as well as you do. And I just had a feeling about myself, which was that I felt that most of the time, I was their biggest handicap. Because the ease at which I could relate to their physical disability and the ease at which I could label them made my expectations for them so small, and they weren't able to tell me. And I can see that you are. You're able to say that to me.
I understand there is a normal revulsion, I won't say it any other way, against people who are different, people who walk different. Maybe revulsion is too strong, but don't ever deny that you want to turn away and go across the street and keep going. Don't ever deny that. If you are, you're not being prepared to yourself. But what I like to say is that don't ever not turn back. And I'm guilty of that too. You think you got it tough? I'm labeled handicapped, and yet sometimes I have difficulty coping with handicapped people, disabled people myself, whatever you want to call them. What I like to say is that I've got the same feelings you do. So why can't we understand each other? Unless we really want to be defensive, go live in an isolated place and be safe. It is safe not to get involved. It is safe not to speak out. And if I wanted to be safe, I could have flown home from school about 3 weeks into my freshman year, which I wanted to do very badly, and sit at home and knit blankets all the rest of my life. I'm like more excited when I admit that, hey, it's not right inside. Hey, I'm turning off to someone. I admit this to myself and fight myself to turn back to that person. Fight myself to say, hey, I like you. There is worse than you. I'm afraid. No, I think I know that people passing me on the street see me casually across the dining hall, even holding. Don't think there's anything inside me. And I understand that a lot more than I used to. Because I can say the same thing about the same person casually across the dining hall. Our tendency is to turn away not only from the disabled, but from other people. By first impressions, whatever you want to call it. That's what I think handicap is. That's what I think being disabled is. If you want the real truth for me, what I think. I can cope with being cerebral palsy.
So the title of this forum maybe should have been called The Story of Trudy, was it Knudsen?
Mm-hmm.
And who has cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm. Right. I can't fit under the label of handicap. But I can fit just as much as you can fit under the label of handicap. Don't base it on cerebral palsy, because I can cope with that. Base it on what's going inside, which sometimes I can't cope with, but we're called to cope with. And I think that's calling is called life. And I find there's more strength and fighting that and giving in. My sister has been jealous of me for some time because of the way I have to use my muscles. My thighs, are these thighs?
Yeah.
They'll never get big and meaty. Whereas hers might. In case Emily ever read this, hers might. And I was gonna tell you that for some reason, but I forgot why. Let's go on. I forgot why. I know. I was gonna make a point, but it slipped. I hope so. You might like the tape.
You said that you didn't walk until you were 5. When did you start school then? Did you start school at kindergarten?
7.
7.
And there was no kindergarten in Sheridan. So I went right into first grade. I majored in theater drama. And I love to say that because people who don't really know me, they have the instant look of shock. 9 times out of 10. And so I like to amaze people sometimes because I was never supposed to walk. I was never supposed to talk like at me now. And there are certain things I am not supposed to do. But I go right ahead and do them anyway because I want to and I can. So what's the difference? Am I not supposed to do it because I have cerebral palsy?
You never went to any special classes or anything?
I did have therapy for the first about 8 years of my life, maybe longer, at UVO, University of Oregon Med School in Portland. I had a lot of speech therapy, which absolutely bored me stiff because it didn't teach me anything. But I always went to public school. There's another topic I like to talk on, and that's it's kind of forewarning parents or parents who have handicapped kids, crippled children, whatever, and parents who want to. And I find that parents not want to, who might have future, it's easy to protect the child. It is easy to say, well, she or he can't really do that. And so kind of shy them away from doing things. My parents did, for the most part, protect me against some things. Right now I got no major examples, but for the most part they kicked me out of the nest and said, do it yourself. There was a little wheedling between mom and dad and the teachers, making sure I had certain teachers who mom and dad knew would give me a little extra time, a little extra care. That's the extent of what I cost my special ed. And it was all done within the public school. No private class, no special class, just all my life in the real world in the classroom. And it's the jungle. I was very defensive until my junior year of high school. And part of the difficulty I had was my own defense against being hurt, against being called handicapped, against it. So guess who handicapped me most of all? Myself. Because I said, I am different. I don't want to be. And I was bitter. Until I learned to say, so what? If I was hard, I was the hardest person on myself. And I cried an awful lot. But I grew out of it. And that's why I say today, I fall down, you can't understand me, but that doesn't limit us. Because I pick myself up and I talk slower.
How do you feel when people offer to help you?
It depends on how feisty I am. If I know the person and how tired I am, I got to learn to be nicer than I am. I got to learn to be nice. But I usually say thank you. I try to say thank you. If I'm going into a situation, I work in holding kitchen. And I thought that was a scream when I got my job assignment. Randy, because that's a dangerous place in the whole village. And I asked around about 2 weeks after I've been here, I said, well, what did you think? The first time you saw me, did you want to go, oh no, get her away, or what? And one of the cooks said, well, I didn't know how to ask. I didn't know if you would be offended. So what I did the first day was, what I said was, first day I was here, I know there are some things I can't do. When we come across them, I'll just say, hey, anything else you want me to do? Because I can't do that. I can't lift heavy boxes or else I zonk myself out. I can't cut finely, like tomatoes. There's a lot of things I'm finding I can do. I amaze myself every day, sometimes. Oh, I didn't know I could do that. For fun. I've been to Heart Lake, which is a 9 mile hike.
I can't believe it.
Don't react too strongly because the last first mile I had a piggyback ride. I went with the biggest person in camp, so I knew I would make it back. I would love to go up to Copper Basin. And I think if I wasn't so tired, if I build myself up again, my goal will be Copper Basin. Because it's all uphill, all switchbacks. And I love switchbacks.
She's sterile.
No, she's not. Herself. I hate to say this, but darling is something I'm not, because darling is on a shelf and ho ho ho, but I'm down here. I cope with this because with laughing, and I invite you to laugh with me, because I love to laugh, I don't laugh at my cerebral palsy that I've changed. I laugh because at one point I was crying at least 6 times a week. I was afraid to go outside my dorm room because I knew I would cry. And I just got tired of crying, and so I said, okay, next time you cry, make sure you can laugh. And my sister hates it because when I sit down and cry, I end up laughing, and she reaches the point where she says, I don't know what you're doing. Would you mind telling me, are you crying? Are you laughing? Is it okay? And I go, I'm fine. I'm never okay, but now it's all right. She hates it. I love it. Have we talked about handicaps enough? Or have we talked about me too much? I don't know. We have 12 minutes. Is there anything else we should say?
I guess why I came, besides your invitation to come, was as a teacher and as a person, I wonder how I can help in any way others to achieve what you have, your acceptance. People that have physical disabilities or handicaps, as well as other sorts. Students in school who have the same shyness, for instance, that you have. How to help them to accept themselves? What do you feel are the chief ingredients in that? I know your faith has led you to this, but what can teachers or what can people say or be or do besides accepting and loving the person as
well? All right. I can only tell you from the experience I had. One of the worst things I felt teachers could do was calling me out of the room and saying, all right, class, you got to treat Trudy this way. Because I came back into class and what happened? Trudy was not treated the same way. She was resented. I don't know. I think just give all the support you can. If you're the only one around, try to help the person find herself. Herself, himself. The person will not be crutches, he'll not be legs, he'll be somebody inside. And 9 times out of 10, you will not find the person who's ready to go inside, who's ready to be. I read a good book by Madeline Lankel. It's not a wrinkle in time, it's a wind at the door. It's about a crack in the universe, and nothing was in the crack. Like evil was coming out to pull people into the crack. The only thing that kept people out of the clutches of the, kept people out of the evil was by naming it. By saying, hey, it's you. And what also helped is you, I see you, good and bad. But I see good and I love both. I love all of you. Your name. I'm not, hey, there goes that weirdo. I'm Trudy Knudsen. And I like Trudy Knudsen. And I don't know who the weirdo is. and I love me. And I guess all he can do for that, whoever you counted with physical difficulties, love him. And don't be afraid, let other people see your love. I don't know if you should stick up with them. For me, it was bad. But part of the badness, I think, was self-inflicted. Because I got awful defensive. I still do at times. Just be there like a rock. And let him cry a lot. But don't you pick the person up. He's got to do it himself. Or else he'll never grow. He'll never accept. I'm glad I fell down a lot of times. I cried hard tears. And I still do, and I will. There's a lot of things in life that just are not fair. Relationship with men are not fair, because not many guys have the courage or the guts to not want a pretty face and a pretty body. And someone who can look nice by the side. I know that. Took me a long time to understand that. But it took me about the same time to say I don't care. Because I know when the right guy comes along, he will care about my cerebral palsy. He'll care about me, and that will be better. I met someone in Amsterdam. I was in Europe last January, and he appeared out of nowhere, looked at me and asked me what my name was, and I told him my name. He asked me if I was alone, and I said no. 39 people. I'm the same person. Mental telepathy thing out to my mother somewhere. And then he looked at me, he said, what is wrong with you? And I went, he was the first guy who ever came out and approached me. And I told him point blank what happened. Next night I saw him again, and we sat and talked for 2.5 hours. And that was in January, and we're still writing to each other.